We really don't know. We really don't.
From the standpoint of the story, we do have some UFO aspects to it. There's an aspect of the book that deals with what we call the visitors, and with part of the plans for what people would tend to say would be the New World Order, although we don't call it so much that in the story. But there's a connection there that there's an off-world interest in this planet, and the creatures are actually dangerous to even the off-worlders. So that adds another twist into the story itself.
You know, I brought up the subject of UFOs, and we'll get back to the book here in a moment, but both of you are interested in this subject, and so am I. What's got your attention these days, Leslie? You're really up to speed on most of the stuff. What kind of stories are you interested in the UFO field? What's events or whatever?
Oh, my, in the UFO field.
Yeah, we've talked about a few things over the years, but has anything caught your attention recently? Probably have been too busy writing this book.
Yeah, well, I try to stay up on things. I'm still interested in UFOs in the direction of the U.S. Navy Space Command Solar Warden, you know, that young boy over in England that uncovered that they've been giving him hell over, what's his name? You know who I'm talking about. You know his mother and everything.
Yeah,
the one that they're wanting to extradite over here to prosecute him.
Gary McKinnon.
Yeah, exactly, him. So he, you know, apparently tapped into something because he found the off-world, off-terrestrial, you know, crew and all that sort of thing. And Richard Dolan has done some research, too, into that. And so I just wonder how much of what we see up there as far as flying hardware really is ours, you know. So that's
kind of... Robert, what about you?
Well,
what's got your imagination these days?
I'm interested in the entire field, and as you know, I always have been, ever since we did Fast Walkers and the Open Files.
Yeah, and we had a lot of fun with that, and you that was a labor of love, and that's been a very successful project for you.
Yeah, it's been a successful project, and like anything, it took a lot of time and energy to develop it. But we had a lot of good support from, you know, just about everybody out there in the field to bring that project to fruition. One of the things that will help us on this book, of course, is spreading the word, because it's hard if you don't have a Hollywood budget to promote your work out there in a field where there's so much stuff being published these days. So we
We in the media want too damn much money.
Yeah.
What about UFOs? You still keeping up with them?
Oh, you know, I follow it as much as I can, Jerry, and it seems to me that the whole society that we live in today is operating under the illusion that there's not a really vastly superior and sophisticated network out there going on. And I've always contended that there exists another whole level for the people in the power elite, that they have privy to this information and they're not about to share it with the masses. And, of course, the UFO side of that, as Leslie indicated, a lot of the stuff that we see and we hear about and the things that we talked about in Fast Walkers, you know, can be attributed to this senior order. Maintains the secrecy, and of course the whole disclosure movement is trying to bring that wall down, but I don't see a lot of success with that. Do you?
Well, there's so many things happening. It's almost everything in the UFO field, and it's really not just limited to UFOs. It's the way the media works these days, because we have so much proliferation of media. Is you get these big stories, and the stories that we talked a little bit about this a little earlier, at Lee Spiegel and Grant Cameron, You know, you get these gangbuster stories and nobody pays attention, and then another one will catch fire. And the one that catches fire and really gets some attention, before you really get to investigate it, you got something else coming up. Don't you guys think the UFO field is really changing a lot? I mean, there seems to be a lot of things coming out. We talk about disclosure. Maybe we already have it.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, it looks to me like we probably got as much disclosure as we're ever going to get, unless somebody happens to turn up something that really proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, and it gets the attention of the media.
Yeah, that's true. So you guys taking a break before you do another book, or what? I guess you're going to follow up on this one and actually get these expeditions to go out and find one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're working on the development of the second book, and the first book leads into what could very easily be a number of books in the series. So
yeah, I mentioned the movie. It sounds like maybe you have a TV series one.
Mm-hmm. That has been suggested. Yeah,
we've had a little interest on the part of a Hollywood person in the story itself, but you know, Jerry, after all these years in the business, just like with you, you know, these big budget projects, you know, a lot of people talk about them, but when it comes to the time to have the money to do the project, it's a difficult thing to do. That's why with this book, we went ahead and we self-published. Using CreateSpace, and I think that I would recommend to anybody out there that's got a story to tell to just go ahead and do it. And you know, it's going to take a lot of persistence on our part to get the word out there about the book and the story, but the story itself is a good read, and for those that are interested in this type of a creature, it's an excellent read.
Mm-hmm.
Now, next Monday, on our Monday night show, we have Stan Gordon on, who has written about the strange things happening in Pennsylvania. And Nick Redfern will also be a guest, and he's dealt in some of these things in cryptozoology.
Mm-hmm.
So I might bring this up to these guys. There may be something that they've ran across investigating they hadn't really locked in on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing you guys are doing with this book, is calling attention to... And there's no doubt about it, when you have a mainstream reporter like George Knapp doing stories about people going into the national forest and not coming out.
In the cover-up, yeah.
Yeah, the Forest Service, they figure it's their mission not to protect you as much as to keep people coming.
Well, it's pretty strange, too, when they call in Green Berets to do a search for a missing person, which is highly unusual. So it makes you wonder, you know, are they aware that they're really there to search for an extremely dangerous creature? Green Berets are highly unusual. They also did the same thing with that case in Finland. They called in their equivalent of Green Berets to do a search for just a missing berry picker.
Well, tell me about that case in Finland a little bit.
Well, it was just a berry picker, and he was with another group, but he wasn't extremely close to them. And he had a cell phone, and he called for help. He was totally freaked out, and they immediately started searching for him and couldn't find him. And it took them 2 weeks to finally find his body, what was left of it. And
so it was mutilated.
Yes, and where they found his body, it was really close to where he disappeared, and they couldn't figure out how his body could be there, and they never did see it. And in his case, too, his clothes were carefully folded and left there. And while they lost contact with him on his cell phone, the whole thing was very strange. But, yes, they brought in the equivalent of Green Berets. So that's why I think...
Robert, it sounds like these creatures are playing games with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're extremely intelligent based on what we've been able to find in our research. They certainly are intelligent, and in addition to that, they have adaptability to the environment far, far greater than a human. And they have the strength of, you know,
winter and very cold climates, it does not stop them from doing anything.
Nothing does. They're totally adaptable to anything, any kind of climate, food, anything. They'll live on anything. And so they would make the ideal super soldier. They're about unkillable.
So if I get the drift, and I haven't read the whole book yet, I apologize, but I've been looking at it, and it's a great read from what I've read. And I've got several emails here. It's people saying they couldn't put it down. The super soldier aspect is somebody training these things to act on their behalf.
Well, they've actually been, they've actually, as far as the book goes, they've actually been genetically bred and created, designed, and turned into that type of a hybrid creature that is answerable at the time when the internet was in existence. Remember, our setting is in 2014 after the internet and all the computers are down and lost communication. So essentially what has occurred is these creatures have been developed and were put out in the field for testing in a number of areas of the world. And then with the loss of the computer network and the ability to stay in communication with their creation, the designers and the masters of these things are suddenly out of touch, and the creatures are on their own, left to survive and adapt and raise havoc in the different regions of the in this case up in northern Arizona and in the Chattanooga area. But it's there's a lot of truth in the book itself. We bring in a lot of elements besides just the creatures. We bring in the elements that, you know, all of us are confronting in our day-to-day lives of just existence. So everyone that picks up the book, we tried to write it in such a way that it would appeal to a general population, not just a core group that are interested in this type of a creature.
Okay, our time's up here. We urge people to check Amazon for Lycandroid, Super Soldiers, and the Freedom War. And it's the first in a series of books, right?
Hopefully.
Okay, thanks very much. You got any adding, any comments? We got to get the clock's got us here, Robert. We're not unfamiliar with that element of broadcasting.
Right. We just want to thank you and thank everybody there at Inception Radio for a chance to do the interview, Derek. And good luck to you and to your shows.
Okay, and Leslie, maybe we'll do something again, but it sounds like Robert's keeping you busy.
Well, we're just basically staying busy, but we just enjoy your show and glad to help you anytime. You do a great show, Jerry. Great.
Thank
show.
You very much, both of you, and I appreciate it. Thanks very much for listening. Joe Champion in Chicago and Jane Swartley in Boulder, our producer. We appreciate all the help we can get. So until next time, thanks for listening. Until later, cheers.